Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and with me in the studio once again, Al Schrotel of the Cape Fear Cyclists and Soraya Rashid, Senior Transportation Planner with the Wilmington Urban Area Metropolitan Planning Organization. If you have a question about getting around on a bicycle in the region or sharing the road with those who do, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. You can also tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. And John from Leland, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you for having me.
Sure.
A question. If we want to implement better habits and knowledge of the rules of the road for bicycling, I think we should continue an extension of what we learned in grade school about crosswalks. Teacher, you have penalties. You didn't get a good grade if you didn't listen or participate in the correct way. So we've got two big campuses where most of the bicycles generate from, the students riding bicycles. There are adults also, but I think if we start on campus with programs that there are penalties for not going the right way, riding on the sidewalk, parking in the wrong place, just like they give tickets for cars not in the right area or driving too fast on campus, why cannot we implement tickets or penalties for the students? And therefore, once they learn how to do this and even have classes, then it'll transpose into the public when they're on their bicycles off campus.
So, John, you're basically suggesting a bicycle safety training and sort of like driver's education for bicyclists.
Yes, on campus where it means most because they have bicycles there. Plus, it must be enforced in order to implement it correctly. I mean, if we have rules of the road, and just like you say, you want to educate the police department as to start giving tickets to these bicyclists that are doing things wrong, then it's going to transpose on campus because they're going to get fines or tickets for operating wrong there, and then that'll be ingrained in them when they get on the street.
Al Schrotel?
Cape Fear Cyclists has a very, very active bike safety training program. We have seven nationally certified bike safety instructors. And we would be happy to run such a program anywhere. We have what we call basically a bicycling 101 course, which we run approximately every 3, 4 months, 5 months, something like that. It is free. If you want to find out about it, just go on our website, capefearcyclist.org. We conduct bike rodeos. We just did one down in conjunction with the Carolina Beach Police Department. I think approximately 130 kids went through it. But, of course, when the kids went through it, the parents went through that, too. So they picked it up. But, yeah, we go into the schools. Whenever we're asked, we'll go into the schools and we'll conduct that kind of training. But I think it's an excellent idea, John, that you're suggesting of getting it into the Cape Fear Community College and into UNCW. Great. We'd love to.
John, thanks so much for your call. And Nancy from Wilmington left a comment. She says, the bike lanes seem to end with no proper way for bikes to merge into traffic lanes. As an example, the intersection between Princess Place, 17th, and Grace. Soraya Rashid, I see you taking notes on that. Is this something that you've been aware of?
We do have places where we've put bicycle lanes in where we have the room, and we know that there's a need to merge cyclists into traffic. And what we do in those situations is, instead of just not putting the facility in, we sign it according to MUTCD, which is our regulations for signing facilities. And we sign it so as to allow both all roadway users to understand that the cyclists will be merging.
Is it harder in areas like this? I mean, we're talking about the historic district in
Absolutely.
Wilmington, heavily residential, so, you know, only residential, I think.
It's very challenging. We deal with all kinds of things. And I remember one of the callers earlier had mentioned just being able to stripe a line, we could make that a bike lane. And really, when you look at look at it from an engineering perspective, you can't. It may be because when you get to an intersection or a driveway, that's not a safe situation to alert people to. It seems like it would be, but it's not. We have all kinds of challenges with the amount of area we have to work in terms of getting these facilities in, and in terms of drainage and moving utilities and whatnot. So retrofitting is much, much more difficult than building a facility in the first place, accommodating all users. So we try to squeeze things in where we can as long as it's safe.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about cycling in the region, and we have Paul from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. Hello, Paul.
No, my name's Jeff.
Well, hi, Jeff. So
hi.
You're on the air. Welcome.
Okay. Hi. I had a question. I kind of had a two-part question. One was in response to the second to last caller in regards to penalties for cyclists. But the first question I had was, is there any effort in North Carolina to make interconnecting bikeways across the state so that cyclists can go from city to city without having to be impeded or put at risk? And also, too, in response to the previous caller's question in regards to penalties to cyclists, a lot of the roadways and intersections throughout Wilmington have no way of acknowledging when a cyclist is at a light and will not change unless there's a car on the pressure pads. So it makes it almost next to impossible for a cyclist to cross an intersection without going through a red light. Is there any effort to try and make it to where the intersection lights are timed more than rather depending upon pressure pads?
That's such an interesting point, Jeff. Soraya Rashid.
And I actually have a little a hack for you. As a cyclist, they're not, the lights aren't changed based on pressure pads. They're changed based on a magnetic sensor. So, and this doesn't work at every intersection, or it doesn't work based on the amount of metal you have in your bike on every intersection. And if it doesn't, shoot me an email and we can look at that intersection. But you'll notice on the ground at the light at the stop bar, there's a crossing of metal bars in the pavement. If you position your bike over those where the metal bars cross, you will have a really good chance of getting the light to change for you based on the amount of metal in your bike. So if you have a bike that doesn't have too much metal in it, then get something that does. But, but yeah.
Or carry around a metal pack. All right, Jeff, thank you so much for your call. We have an email from Brian who says, I live in Wilmington and cycle as often as I can. He actually says, I love in Wilmington. So I hope that's true, Brian. And I wanted your panel to comment on the River to Sea Trail, as it referred to. It just turns into a sidewalk when you cross Military Cutoff, and not, and quite a bad narrow one as you approach the bridge. You're also riding into oncoming traffic on the narrow strip of metal on the bridge. Extremely dangerous. River to Sea is a bit of a misnomer. Thank you for your response.
Of course, that what he is commenting on the metal section of the traffic. I just mentioned that NCDOT is taking action, and it's not going to happen until next year. You know, these things do take time, but they're going to put a 3 or 4 foot wide pad, non-skid pad, for cyclists to get across that bridge. With regard to the River to the Sea, of course, that's a very, very old bike pad route. And it is designed for both bicyclists and pedestrians. And so there are some limitations on it. But I would like to talk about one specific thing. They are putting up new – one of the big comments and complaints has been about those metal bollards along there, keeping cars out of there. That will really stop a cyclist. The Parks and Recreation is replacing those with knockdown plastic bollards. I happened to notice on the last River to the Sea ride that there was the base of a metal bollard. The bollard had been pulled out. That was sitting there at about 4 inches of metal sticking up into the trail. I contacted Amy Beatty at Wilmington Parks and Recreation. She got a crew out there and they pulled that thing out.
Wow. Very responsive.
Mm-hmm.
We have an email. Bill says, the recently completed leg from Wade to Halliburton Parks is great. What is the timeline and status of the Carr-Randall intersection and the underpass for the Wrightsville Beach drawbridge? Soraya. And well, you have so many projects going on that we haven't even gotten to yet.
We do. We do have so many projects throughout the entire region. And honestly, in 5 years, you will see so much more infrastructure, not just in the city of Wilmington, but in Brunswick County. Leland is doing some awesome things. Carolina Beach is doing some awesome things. I need to name every single jurisdiction we have and say they're doing.
Pender County, too.
Yes, Pender County. They're all doing wonderful things, and there's a lot coming up in the future. To the projects that you just mentioned, the Heidi Trask drawbridge, and this also coincides with the previous caller, had said that we force you to go the wrong way on the Heidi Trask drawbridge, and we have a project that has been approved for construction, so it should start relatively soon, to construct a public walkway underneath the Heidi Trask drawbridge to allow you to really cross that intersection. I'll be underneath the bridge, and to position your bicycle on the right side of the bridge. The other project that person mentioned, I've forgotten it. I'm sorry.
That's okay. The other project he mentioned was the Carr-Randall intersection.
That will be approved with a roadway project, which is the widening of Carr Avenue. And this is really one of my favorite projects, actually, that's upcoming in the future, because Carr Avenue is a roadway that everyone really in our whole region knows and uses on a regular basis. It's really in the heart of our region, and we will be improving the entire length of Carr Avenue from Randall to Martin Luther King Parkway, with bicycle lanes, sidewalks, and crosswalks at those intersections. And that project is due to start construction in the spring.
And we had Dwayne on the line from Wilmington. We've lost him. I'm sorry. It took too long, Dwayne. We had a flurry of phone calls there. But he says, I'm a daily bicycle commuter. I cross the intersection of Oleander and Independence. There's a crosswalk there. Why does that crosswalk give pedestrians a symbol to walk at the time that the light allows you to go straight? Do you understand that question?
The crosswalk should allow you to walk when the similar movement for vehicles allows you to go straight. So that's what that light does, and it also times along with the turning movements that the light allows for. So that's how that crosswalk is timed.
One of the things that I wanted to get to, the North Carolina Department of Transportation sponsored a study in 2003, so we're looking back a few years. It focused on the Northern Outer Banks, and the point of this study, you're both nodding your heads, it was looking at the payoff for municipalities, for regions, and investing in bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure. And that study resulted, they reported a $60 million positive economic impact just for that area, the Northern Outer Banks. Why does this kind of infrastructure affect a region's economy?
I'll take part of that. Anybody that has driven on Interstate 40 during the summer, and you see the tourists coming in or leaving the area, I would say that a high proportion of them have bicycles on the back. They come down there and they want the opportunity to get. I mean, of course, we've got a wonderful area to cycle. They want to be able to cycle, see the area, and to get some exercise at the same time. And as you improve those facilities, you will see more and more of that. Of course, the study you're talking about was up there in the Outer Banks, and I've been up there, and they have wonderful facilities. Of course, it's a much less congested area, too. Much easier to build those facilities.
at Saraya Rashid.
Yeah, and there's really kind of two major reasons why there's great economic impact to building these types of facilities. The first, as Al mentioned, is that from the recreation tourism aspect, people want to be in a cool place that where you can cycle around. But the second is related, but not directly, the types of areas where it's easy to bicycle or it's supported are areas that have higher quality of life. And this really attracts people to want to live in these types of regions. These are places where you know your neighbors. These are places where businesses and professionals want to invest their lives and their livelihoods.
And these days, we're also seeing industry move where it wants to move.
Exactly.
It's more about quality of place, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We have a comment. Noni in Wilmington says, I think those new bicycle maps should be distributed to the visitor center, the hub that's downtown near the Railroad Museum at 505 Nut Street.
Great. We're on it.
Now, 10 minutes, right?
We have just a couple of minutes left in the show. We've talked so much today about bicycle safety. What is the number one issue that, if it was corrected, would make cycling safer around here that people could undertake from the perspective of both drivers and cyclists? What would you like to leave people with? If you could remember this one thing and it would make it safer, a safer cycling landscape, what would that be, Al Schrotel?
I think courtesy. Very, very simple. Recognize that both have rights, and to acknowledge those rights and to be courteous to each other.
Saraya Rashid?
My personal biggest thing, and this goes for cyclists, pedestrians, everyone, is if you are in a vehicle, a motorized vehicle, and you're turning, you're at an intersection, or you're using a driveway, look out for cyclists and pedestrians. Mm-hmm. Those are places where we have the most accidents. It's most critical.
That's this edition of Coastline. Thanks so much, Saraya Rashid of the City of Wilmington and Al Schrotel of Cape Fear Cyclists, for joining us today. Thanks also to you, our listeners, and those of you who emailed in your comments. Join us next week for the first of our Coastline Candidate Forums, which will happen every Wednesday at noon until Election Day here on HQR News 91.3 FM. If you missed part of this show, we'll post it on our website at whqr.org later today. You can also download the podcast from iTunes. Thanks again for listening. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn for Coastline.